Shalom, Havarim. I can't even talk. Today we're talking about speaking different languages. I come up and butcher my own opening. Assalamu alaikum. No, we just sang that one. All right. The proper response is wa alaikum assalam. We'll work on that next in Arabic-speaking circles. That's how they greet one another. Just a Jewish person might say shalom. They would say assalamu alaikum. Anyway, did you hear about this story this week about a mouse, a mother mouse who is walking with her babies through a field? And as this mother is walking with her baby mice, a cat jumps out in front of them. And of course, they fear for their life in this moment. The cat is there staring them down, and the mother kind of protects her baby mice, puts them behind her, and she uses her biggest voice and goes, woof, 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 woof. Just then, the cat hears this and just darts. She gets out of there as fast as she can. And the mother turns and looks at her baby mice and she said, see, I told you it was important to learn to speak a foreign language. Cats don't bark. Mice don't bark. Did I mess it up? Well, neither do cats. I was so worried about getting my video to play right, and I didn't practice my joke. Anyway, today is Pentecost Sunday, the day that we celebrate the birthday of the church, and I still have three more hats up here if anybody needs them. Maybe after the service we'll get them to you, Asher. We celebrate the birthday of the church, the day the Holy Spirit came down, and this group of disciples, they're gathered, they're just kind of staying to themselves. And all at once they realize that they can't just sit there any longer. As that video showed, they had something they had to share. They went out and they started preaching and teaching the gospel to the people. So today we celebrate this sending of the disciples. We have this birthday party for the church. And it's so much, there's so much going on in that passage that Cadron just read for us. We find the arrival of the Holy Spirit. We find the sending of the disciples. We find that they are empowered with special gifts that help them to spread the gospel. And what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through some of these scenarios, some of the things that happen, to see just why this matters, why this is important to us today, as we, the church, are also called to step out of our comfort zone to share the good news that Jesus has brought to us. So we can handle that? Excellent. Well, first I want to start with a story that I read this week from a pastor, a chaplain named Amy Allen. Amy Allen shares the story of when she first began as a hospital chaplain. She was still a seminary student. She was in her early 20s, and she went to school in Texas. It was near the border of Texas and Mexico, and in this hospital they had a lot of Spanish-speaking clients. So when she went through her training, her trainer gave her a number of little note cards that had simple Spanish phrases on it and several different prayers in Spanish as well. Amy couldn't speak a word of Spanish, but she had these cards to work with. So soon after she began as this chaplain, she was doing the night shift, and they only would have one chaplain on during the night shift. And she got paged down to the ER. She's a 20-something-year-old woman, doesn't speak any Spanish, and there in the emergency room, there is a woman who is irate. She is speaking Spanish and cannot speak English, and she is throwing things, and she is refusing to let anybody touch her, let alone observe her and diagnose her. And as she walks into this ER, this woman is throwing things, you know, grabbing stuff off the shelf, trying to keep people away from them. The ER doc says to her as she walks in the door, she says, "Help us, Reverend." Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't want to admit to getting a year older.
Weak tape.
Weak tape. Anyway, so she comes in, they're like, "Do something, Reverend." And she's just like, "Ah." And what you don't know is that when you go to seminary, there's this class called How to Deal with Irate Women Who Don't Speak Your Language at 2 a.m. in the morning. No, there's not. So she goes to this stack of cards that she has in her pocket, and she just flips through until she finds something to read. And she starts reading this, knowing what it meant, but not knowing these words. As this woman is yelling, as she's screaming, as she's throwing and refusing to be treated, she says these words. She says, Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. And she probably pronounced it just as poorly as I did. But as she read through this card, this prayer that she knew was in Spanish, that this woman could understand, something happened. This woman settled down. She stopped throwing things. She stopped throwing a fit. And she joined in this prayer. And as you probably have figured it out by now, this is the Lord's Prayer in Spanish. So they just kept repeating it over and over again. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. The woman eventually allowed the doctors to treat her. She was healed and sent home. Now, we all know that having somebody tell us to calm down is not helpful. Having somebody yell at you to calm down, will you just calm down? That's counterproductive. But it's all the more counterproductive when you don't really know what's going on. When your fear levels are high, when your anxiety is through the roof, when that endorphins and all the chemicals are firing in your system, when you're working on adrenaline, it is really hard to hear what somebody has to say. But in that moment, because Amy had this card, this resource available to her, she could speak in this woman's native tongue. And this woman recognized it as a familiar prayer. They prayed together and she was healed. So today we are going to be looking at this thing that we call Pentecost. We're going to try to understand just what's going on here. And I want to show you how important it is to meet people where they are, but also for us to be challenged to step outside of our comfort zone. I don't think Amy Allen was comfortable speaking Spanish to this woman. I don't think she found it comfortable to walk into that situation in the ER having things thrown at her. But she stepped out of her comfort zone. She spoke to this woman. And together, she and the doctors and the nurses, the staff, brought healing to this woman. So in today's text, we see that we begin with these words. When the day of Pentecost came. Now, we know Pentecost because of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. We know it because of the noise that comes through the city. We know it because of the languages that the people could speak or understand in that moment. We know the story because of that. But Pentecost actually dates back to the book of Leviticus. It goes all the way back. It was an original Hebrew holiday. And the Pentecost was originally called the Festival of Weeks. We find that in Leviticus chapter 23. And 7 weeks, it says, count off 7 weeks after Passover, and then the next day, celebrate this event, Pentecost. 7 weeks is how many days? 7 times 7? What do you think, Duncan? 49. Add one more. What's the next day? It's day 50. Pentecost is simply the Greek word for the 50th. So the Hebrew celebration of Pentecost was originally designed as a day of celebration of the first fruits. Held early in the spring, like today, it's not early in the spring, late in the spring, almost summertime, the people would bring their first fruits from the field to the temple to offer them to God. Not only did they offer their first fruits, they also would pray for a continued successful harvest. Keep those two things in mind. This is what's going on. A thank you for God for bringing the first fruits about, and a prayer for God to continue to bless their continued harvest. So this also became the day that they would celebrate the giving of the Torah, when Moses went up Mount Sinai and received the word from God. So you see that this is one of the major holidays in the Jewish tradition. This is what we call a pilgrimage holiday, where every male of a certain age was required to go, no matter how far they lived away, go to Jerusalem and make their first fruit offering and pray for a continued successful harvest. So this is what's going on in our passage for today. We go to the second half of verse 1. It says, they were all together in one place. Now, we don't know who the they was. Who was the they? It's not always that simple. You're welcome to guess, Duncan. Who do you think the they was? That's a good guess, but we're talking about thousands and thousands of people. They can't be in one place. So it could be that this was the reference to the 11 disciples that were left, plus the new disciple Matthias. They were gathered together. Could be a reference to the 120 new believers that were mentioned in the passage before this. Doesn't really matter who it is, but we see that they are gathered together inside. And as they are gathered there, they hear a noise. It sounds like a wind coming through. Anybody remember the derecho from a few years ago? The wind came through and they heard this noise and they rush outside to see what is happening. And not only are they able to hear it, there's a visual element as well. As they sit there and they listen to this wind and they see something that they see, they call, it looks like tongues of fire descending upon the people's heads. What does that even look like? Tongues of fire descending on people's heads. I'm looking at your heads right now. I'm trying to imagine what it would look like for tongues of fire to descend. All I could think of is like if you eat too many hot peppers. Like you get these tongues of fire. I did a little bit of looking into the word there. And it's actually the word that's translated as tongues of fire is the same word that's used to describe languages. So like when we talk about someone's native tongue, these tongues of fire, these languages of fire descended upon their head. That doesn't really clarify anything because I don't know what a language of fire would look like either. But what we notice is that as these tongues of fire descend on their head, they're able to speak different languages. And the people who are gathered there in Jerusalem, the thousands and thousands of men who have come together to celebrate Pentecost, they're able to hear in their own language. Now, we don't know for sure whether it was a miracle of speaking in different languages or a miracle of hearing in different languages. I don't think that's really significant for this point. But the point is, the people heard and understood what was being said in their own language, just like that woman in the hospital from the story I opened with. Verse 5 says this, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven." All these people came together from these different parts of the world. No matter how far away you live, you came for Pentecost. And when they came and they heard these disciples speaking, they heard them in their own language. Now, I was 42 years old when I figured this out. That means this week. There is a lot of symbolism involved in connecting the events of Pentecost to this reaching out and speaking to people in their different languages. Because what did I say Pentecost was originally celebrated for? There's two things I said. Celebration of the first fruits. And what do you think, Duncan? The original Hebrew. Yeah. So you're good, you're good. The celebration of the first fruits and prayer for the rest of the harvest. Now, if you look through the New Testament, multiple times, Paul will use this metaphor, calling the church the first fruits of his ministry. Particularly when he goes and he reaches a new community, he refers to them as first fruits. In the book of Corinthians, at least twice, he refers to them as the first fruits of the gospel. And in Matthew chapter 9, we find Jesus saying these words. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So the events of Pentecost were to celebrate the first fruits, like the disciples who had first heard the gospel from Jesus himself. But it's also an opportunity to pray for this extended harvest, the rest of the harvest that Jesus said is plentiful and the workers are few. There is much symbolism behind this event that we know as Pentecost. So what happened on that Pentecost day? We know that the Holy Spirit came down upon these men. The Holy Spirit provided them this gift to speak in different languages. And it's not like just some party trick, right? It's not like they're just able to walk around and be able to converse with people just for fun, to show off. You know how your pastor likes to show off languages sometimes, you know? Sprechen Sie Dutch? Yeah? Habla Espanol? Parlez-vous Francais? That's all I got. It's not just like showing off. No, it's meant to bring them this message. But I have questions about the Holy Spirit. And I think about the different words that are used to describe the Holy Spirit. We find these different words throughout the Bible. Holy Spirit is called the advocate. Holy Spirit is called a helper. The Holy Spirit is called a paraclete. What in the world is a paraclete? Like, did he just misspell parakeet? On the... It's one of those birds that will occasionally talk back to you. Paraclete is only found, I believe, in John's Gospel, in the farewell discourse, where Jesus says, I will send the paraclete to you. And paraclete literally means one that comes beside you, like parallel. It comes along and helps you in your way. But when I read about the Holy Spirit, I sometimes find this language of the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And that to me is a little bit, it's reassuring. I think it's great. Because yes, indeed, the Holy Spirit does comfort the people who are oppressed. Holy Spirit brings comfort to those who are afflicted. But I also realize there's times when the Holy Spirit discomforts us. The Holy Spirit causes discomfort within us, causes us to feel uneasy. And these are the times when the Holy Spirit is trying to move us to do something different. The Holy Spirit is calling you to do something that makes you uncomfortable, to bring about a difference, calling us out of our comfort zone. So maybe for you, the Holy Spirit is calling you to speak about your faith to a friend that you know is struggling with something. And that's not going to be an easy conversation, because in the 21st century, we don't talk about our faith. That's something personal. We keep it to ourselves. Or maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you to help serve at the soup kitchen. And you've had a problem with that. You don't feel comfortable in that situation, or you're feeling that nudge. Maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you to quit your job because your boss has been asking you to do something that's not really ethical. You're maybe keeping two sets of books and fudging it a bit for tax purposes, and you feel a little bit uncomfortable about that. Maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you to have a conversation with that person that you can't stand or don't like or haven't been able to sit down with before. That person who looks different than you, or perhaps a different race than you, a person who voted differently than you. This person that you would never grab a cup of coffee with. Maybe the Holy Spirit is nudging you in that way. And I say the Holy Spirit is calling us to discomfort, calling us out of our comfort zone so that we can be a part of spreading this message of His kingdom. So I think about stories of discomfort. And I may have shared this story with you all before at one point, but I'm going to share it again. About my friend Thomas. And some of you will know Thomas. When Thomas was in high school, he went to a youth retreat at some university probably. And there was people, kids from all over the state, gathered together at this youth convention. And as they're having this time of worship, everybody's standing up, they're singing praise songs, you know, very, you know, bouncy kind of stuff as the kids are getting into the music. Thomas looks over and he notices one kid is not even watching the worship leader. He's not paying attention to what's going on in the front. What he's doing is he's watching somebody over to the side. So Thomas sees this guy watching someone else over on the side, and he's trying to figure out just what's going on. And it takes him a bit, and he finally realizes, well, this guy is watching his interpreter. Because the kid was deaf. And Thomas had never met a deaf person before, and he felt kind of uncomfortable around this deaf person. But yet he felt this nudging to go and talk to this guy. So Thomas then had this conversation with this other deaf young man, and you know, through this interpreter. And after a while, Thomas just realized this guy's just like me, only he can't hear. And he developed this relationship with him. And finally, at the end of the event, when they were ready to go home, Thomas said to him, again, through the interpreter, he says, "You can't learn my language, so I'm going to learn yours." Now, I don't know if Thomas ever saw that guy again, but I do know that he kept his promise and he learned to use sign language. Thomas was one of the guys that helped start the first fully ASL, fully American Sign Language church services here in Augusta County, Signs of Life Fellowship, which met here in our sanctuary or in our fellowship room for a number of years. Thomas continues to give leadership to Signs of Life. If it wasn't for Thomas giving in to that nudging of the Holy Spirit, moving him out of his comfort zone to go and talk to that young man, Signs of Life, the first fully ASL congregation in Augusta County, may never have begun. The Spirit is not simply a comforter. It can be a discomforter as well. So where is the Spirit today? I haven't seen anybody with like tongues of fire descending on your heads yet today. Some of you are giggling like you. Some of you are giggling like you've been witnessing people with tongues of fire. what is the Spirit? Where do we find this Spirit? And one of the things I like to do is, you know, I like to go back and look at the original languages, and it seems very appropriate today that we revisit the languages that are, the words that are used to describe the Spirit in both the Greek and the Hebrew. I'm sure, does anybody remember one of them? Pneuma is for Greek, and the Hebrew is a little more difficult. Hebrew is Ruach. Let's say it. Say Ruach with me. Ruach. Now, both Pneuma and Ruach can mean breath. It can mean wind or spirit. And we have to use the context clues to understand what is going on in these texts. But when we think about Spirit as being more than just this descending upon us tongues of fire, we come to realize that the Spirit of God has always been around. In fact, we talk about today being the birthday of the church. We need to remember that this is not the birthday of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there before the beginning. That's actually a part of one of the central creeds in the Christian tradition, the Nicene Creed. So Pentecost is the birthday of the church, not the Holy Spirit. The Nicene Creed from 381 says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. The Nicene Creed is very intentional to make sure that we don't believe that the Spirit was created by God, that the Spirit came along later and was birthed by God. That would make the Spirit subordinate to God. The Nicene Creed wants to show us how the Spirit is God, always has been God, and always will be God. When we open the book of Genesis, we find out that the Spirit of God was there, hovering over the waters, hovering over this chaos. And it's a really fun Hebrew word there, tohu vabohu. The water, the chaos that existed there, the Spirit of God is hovering over the tohu vabohu. You want to say it now, don't you? The tohu vabohu. Say it. Tohu vabohu. Yeah. This formless void, the Spirit of God is right there. Turn the page in your Bible. You find that God forms this inanimate lump of clay. And that becomes the first man. How does God animate that formless lump of clay? By breathing into his nostrils. You go further into the Old Testament. You come to the prophets like Isaiah. Chapter 61, verse 1. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. It is the Spirit that spoke through the prophets. And somebody else quoted that passage. Do you know who quoted that passage? It was Jesus himself in his first sermon. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. I believe that the Holy Spirit is calling us today to get out of our comfort zones, to do things that we maybe normally wouldn't do. And the Spirit of God will be with us each step of the way. When you wonder, where is God in all of this? Remember that God is just as close as the air in your lungs. With me, breathe in and breathe out. That wind, that breath, that Spirit, God is with us. God is within us. God is here to bring comfort to the afflicted, but to bring discomfort to those who are too comfortable. Calling us out of our comfort zone, calling us to have difficult conversations, calling us to spread the good news, calling us to love the unlovable, to serve the poor, to do things that we normally couldn't or wouldn't do. We are empowered, just as those first disciples. And God is as close as the breath in our lungs. Let's pray. Loving God, we are thankful for the gift that we have received, the gift of your Holy Spirit with us, calling us out of our comfort zones, out of our homes, out of our offices, out of this building, and into the world to bring your good news. Help us, Lord, when we want to stay comfortable, when we want to stay sheltered and protected. Lord, that's a natural response, and we understand that. But you have called us out. You have called us to do more. So we pray that you help us, inspire us, fill us with your Spirit. May we remember that you are just as close as the air in our lungs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This brings us to the time of our service for the sharing of praises and prayer concerns.